Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We are going to be chatting to Jake Shepherd on our Loser Think series, and finding out about how to think like an entrepreneur. So, founder and director at Synthesis, Jake Shepherd, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us on Hi FM.
Morning, Benji. It's always good to embrace new experiences. And I've never done a radio show without Howard, so I'm really looking forward to the experience of speaking with you.
A Howardless radio experience. Well,
exactly. 100%.
You used to be on the wireless, now you're on the Howardless, so it should be very good. So let's talk about entrepreneurship. What aspect are we covering on the show today?
Yeah, so really, I suppose over the last couple of shows, we've really looked at the concept of Loser Think, which is based on a book by Scott Adams. And it's about like really trying to avoid those ineffective ways of thinking so that we can like embrace more productive ways. And one of the ways of doing it is looking at professions. And as you correctly pointed out, let's look at an entrepreneur and just how does an entrepreneur think? So I'm sure you can all remember back in the day learning about Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion, the law of inertia. So it's that law about stuff stays where it is, or it continues in a straight line unless it's acted upon by an outside force. And I think we can all agree that it's not just a law of physical law, but it's actually a law of human nature as well. And I think we can all like relate to times where we almost stuck on the couch, you know, and we don't know how to actually move. And like you'd move off the couch. So, for example, if you could either continue watching another episode of a Friends rerun, or you can get off the couch and start writing your master's thesis. Well, I know for most of us, the Friends episode is going to win almost every time. And I think what Loser Think is like having this picture of an entire massive insurmountable task ahead of you, and then letting that picture stun you into inaction. So, you know, what you can do if you can't get off the couch, I suppose, just, well, try and do something that's achievable. For example, maybe you can move your pinky finger, or maybe you can, and then after that, you can start trying to move your hand. And I think once you start seeing that you can start making like a positive steps forward, you'll like unlock yourself and you'll be standing up next to the couch in no time. And I think what like entrepreneurs know is how to apply this concept to their business. So, you know, running a business is difficult, and starting a business from scratch where nothing's actually in place is like almost impossible. And it's that enormity of the idea that almost stuns us into inaction.
As someone who wrote a master's degree, Jake, and took him 5 years, which it should have taken one, I can very much attest to what it means to have to start small and then get bigger, right? And they used to tell us, just do 20 minutes of your master's every day. Because once you start and you get to 20 minutes, suddenly you realize, oh, well, actually I could do a few more. And actually by the time you get done, you've done an hour and it's actually, you've made a dent. So,
yeah.
And I think that's a really big, and it's the principle of eating the elephant one mouthful at a time.
Exactly. So that's exactly what entrepreneurs know. They know that if they're going to do something, they just need to start. So they say like, what small manageable thing can I do today, which will move me closer to my goal? And then once they've done that, they can then move on to the next step. And it might take years, you know, because you've got to build your skills. You've got to actually put a whole bunch of pieces of the puzzle together. You've got to like form relationships and put systems in place. And even looking back, you can say, wow, I can't believe how, like what an immense and daunting thing this seemed to be at the beginning, that elephant that you talked about. But ultimately it was achieved one small step at a time, one achievable step at a time. And then another thing that I think entrepreneurs teach us is that mistakes are healthy. Actually making mistakes, it's okay to make mistakes. Now we have this popular vision of these like massive entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos, and we almost look at them as if they're totally and utterly infallible. They can't like ever make a mistake. And that couldn't like really be further from the truth. You know, entrepreneurs make mistakes often. But the difference is they're not afraid to make the mistakes, and they're actually quite open to learning from them. Because they, like, you know, making mistakes is healthy and normal. So if you embrace failure as an opportunity to learn, then you can see, well, maybe this initial vision that I had for our business is flawed. and maybe it needs to pivot, but then we'll find out what actually does work. So I think this whole concept of like testing often, you know, how do you actually go about trying to make sure that the idea is going to work without spending huge money? And I'm sure you're familiar with the greengrocer in Long Avenue Fresh Fillers. And the owner, Elvina Salgado, he bought the property across the road from him to bash down the house for extra parking. And instead of like going about and then putting in this massive complex automated parking system with booms and payment points and everything else, and that would like cost an absolute fortune, he first tested to see whether people in Glenhazel were actually prepared to pay for parking. And so what he did is he just put like a car attendant at the parking area just to charge people a minimal amount, let's say 10 rand, whatever, each time they parked. And he found out that people in Glenhazel actually weren't prepared to pay for their parking. So he pivoted and he said, well, what other alternative is there? And he realized actually all the businesses in the area actually needed that parking. And maybe they can contribute on a monthly basis. But he could do that because he first tested to see if his initial idea would work, and he saw it wouldn't, and then could pivot. So that's another area thing. I think that, you know, entrepreneurs are really great at just embracing the fact that they're going to make mistakes.
And sometimes it's the sum of your failures that it actually is the success in some respects. People tend to look at the thing that worked, but actually, if you look at the pile next to it of the things that didn't work, that's actually a better representation of the final outcome.
Yeah, it's almost recognizing the fact that the failure teaches you stuff. Success doesn't teach you one hell of a lot, but failure teaches you an enormous amount. And actually, it's almost like a badge of honor how many times you fail. Entrepreneurs look at it like a badge of honor, how many times they fail, as a way of actually saying, well, how good they are. You know, it's a little bit weird, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
and another like a great example of loser think is the advice, stay in your lane. And I'm sure you've heard it. And people like often use it when they're telling people like you should only talk or do stuff that you're an expert in. And entrepreneurs leave their lane often, hey? They really don't stay in their lane. You know, if you're looking at an entrepreneur's highway, those lines between the lanes are like all obscured because they've driven over them the whole time. Because they're constantly learning and applying new skills. So there are a few people who can, exceptional people who could just like leverage or just focus on one skill. Like imagine like a concert pianist or like the top tennis players in the world. Like certain professions, you can just like refocus on one skill and only one skill. But for most people, what we need to do is we need to realize that we need a broad range of skill in order to be effective. So like even like Scott Adams, the creator of the Dilbert comic strip, who wrote the book Loser Think, he coined the term talent stack. So it's an idea that you can like combine a whole bunch of normal skills together until you get the right mix. So when you get the right mix, all of a sudden you become extraordinary. And a good example is actually Scott Adams himself. Because he's not the best artist. There are way better artists than him. And he's not much of a business expert. They're far more savvy experts. And he's never taken a college-level writing class either. But he's got some marketing skills, and he's got like effective persuasion skills. And despite not being an expert at any one skill, I mean, he's the author of the Dilbert comics strip, which is like well-known. I think it's syndicated in like 65 different countries. The guy's a multimillionaire. And he did it by just cobbling together a whole bunch of skills. And I think what we need to recognize is the world actually isn't created by people who stay in their lanes. All the massive creation that happens in the world is actually by people who get out of their lane. So if you're looking at like Elon Musk, so he hops between batteries, cars, manufacturing, space rockets, tunnel boring, solar panels, brain implants, you know, with his neural link stuff. And a whole bunch of other initiatives. And if you look at last something like Bill Gates, I mean, he does software, nuclear power, polio vaccines, sanitation, education. I mean, there are dozens more that I don't even know about.
I mean, Jake, so I think you may have solved a major South African dilemma and misunderstanding that we've had the whole time. You know, I always wondered what made Cape Town a place that was good for entrepreneurs. And now having been in Cape Townian traffic, I know exactly they never stay in their lane.
Exactly. So I think that's exactly it. So if the greatest entrepreneurs don't take the advice, stay in your lane, why the hell should we? And I just like to encourage people, just get out of your lane, you know, learn stuff, try stuff that you don't know how to do, because you'll work it out and you'll become better at it. And then just like if you're thinking from a, you know, if you think like in terms of our attitude to our own ability, our personal control, so like you see like setbacks or obstacles, and these are things that are common in business. And many people like reacted quite negatively to these like hurdles, and they feel like a lot of pessimism, and they see that these obstacles are negative, and that there's like even worse than that. They think that there's nothing they can do about it. You know, it's the outside world that's plotting against them. And I think entrepreneurs view a challenge or setback differently. They see it as an opportunity to grow, and they really say, well, you know, if we have the setback, let's use it to either improve upon a weakness that we have, or how can we stop this happening again in the future, you know? And I suppose if you look at certain people, if they see the problem as outside of your control, then ultimately what it is, it's a very disempowering way of seeing the world, because then you give up very easily, you know? Whereas if you see yourself as the problem, you see yourself then also in an empowering light, because then you can go about fixing the problem. And I remember like being profoundly like impacted when a friend of mine, now he actually started off a company. I think he was an entrepreneur, started this company, and then he sold his company actually quite a bit of money. And then I met him on the first day that he started working at a big corporate. And he had a real baptism of fire. You know, I was in a meeting with him, and he said, "Yo, you know, one of the systems that he's responsible for has fallen over, and it's his fault." And I said, "Yo, you work very quickly, because, like, you know, I can't believe you've done so much damage in such a few amount of hours." And then he told me something that I'll never forget. It stuck with me. He said, "If it's not my fault, I can't fix it. And if it's somebody else's fault, they have to fix it." And it's that aspect of just taking ownership of the problems and realizing, listen, if it's not my fault, I can't fix it. And to take a very healthy view of obstacles in your way, and just say, well, you know, I can control my own destiny. You know, I can really change the world. It's in my power. And really realize that, you know, threats and opportunities are really two sides of the same coin.
Well, there you go,
really need
Jake.
To grab it.
Yeah, Jake Shepherd, thank you so much for joining us, bringing us those insights. Have Shabbat Shalom and Sukkot, and I hope that you enjoyed not staying in your lane with Howard Less Radio.
Great, thanks, Bridget.
Jake Shepherd there. He is founder and director at Synthesis, talking to us about entrepreneurs and how do they think, whether it's staying in your lane or taking ownership of problems or learning from failure, all very, very useful skills. So a fascinating discussion and insights there on how we can rejig our thinking and talking about staying in our lane.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.